Life definitely has its fair share of ups and downs. We deal with the death of loved ones, different illnesses, mental health challenges, and every other struggle in between. But sometimes it's hard to be real and actually talk about this stuff. My name is Alexis Bean, but you can call me Lex. And this is Big Girl Panties Podcast. Here, I chat with both professional experts and other women like me who have their own story about living through grief, trauma, and other tough times, and how they have found a way to put on their big girl panties and thrive. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Big Girl Panties Podcast. It feels like forever since I've connected with everyone in this format, and feels like forever since I've released an episode, but the one you'll listen to today is timely, and it will never be outdated. Today's episode opens up a conversation about one of my favorite subjects, food. I love to eat. I love to go to restaurants with friends, and more recently, I've developed a love for baking. The time of year that this episode is being released on is around the time that people will start to gather for Thanksgiving or start to have Christmas parties and the like. And although the holidays may look a lot different this year due to COVID-19, this topic is still worth talking about. We still gotta eat, right? My relationship with food has changed over the years due to my diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. I try to be mindful of the foods I consume, and if anyone else is out there like me, you know that it's tough to say no to some of the foods around the table that may contain gluten, or sugar, or anything else that you should be staying away from. To open up this conversation, I've invited Sarah White, who is a nutritional therapist at Ocean Rock Wellness in Bermuda, to chat about one's relationship with food and nutrition, and how this ties into our overall well-being as women. During this conversation, take what's for you. We are all at different stages in our wellness journeys, and what may be right for me may not be right for you. But the overall message that I hope that you take from today's chat is what you consume and what you feed your body matters. Make the right decisions and do what's best for you now and as we navigate through the holiday season. Here's my chat with Sarah. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really, really excited that you're here. I'm going to jump right in, but first I'll just share with the audience that I'm just so excited that you're here because I know you on a personal level. So I'm excited to have this kind of conversation with you. That's more so it's personal, but it's more, I guess, to do with your professional background. So I'm excited.
Yes, same.
So I'll just go into like my first question to lead the conversation. So you are a nutritional therapist. So what made you decide to become a nutritional therapist?
So I was in university. I was at Dalhousie and I was studying environmental sustainability. And it was probably my second year and I just felt really poorly. And so I think for Christmas, I asked my mom for a nutrition book and she gave me one. And then at that point, I read it. And I was just so enamored with everything it was saying. It was telling me how to feel better. So I continued and I finished my degree, but I knew within kind of a year of being interested in it that after I finished, I wanted to go on to study nutrition in some capacity because I think there isn't enough information growing up, especially as women. Mm. We just have so much from a hormone perspective. And with the world where it is, we're kind of given free rein to eat what we want without the understanding of how that might make us feel or how it can contribute to feeling poorly in certain conditions.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's kind of my area. So that's kind of where I became. It was my own feeling unwell that led me here. So I finished studying. I went off to the UK, studied nutritional therapy and came back. I worked with a nutritionist briefly for about a year. And then I joined Ocean Rock Wellness, which is a functional medicine practice here in Bermuda, led by two doctors and a physiotherapist. So we're a very kind of holistic, integrated team. And I support all of their clients. And yeah, that's where I am now.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that introduction. And I'm just thankful that you decided to go on that path because there are so many people who I think need this clarity on nutrition and this understanding. Because like you said, we weren't made aware of a lot of this kind of information as we were growing up. So that's really cool, your story. And I'm thankful that you decided to go into this career. So you mentioned a bit of your own health to inspire your decision to become a nutritional therapist. So can you elaborate on your own wellness journey and then, you know, like your relationship with food over the years?
Yeah. So, you know, I think like many of us, there things kind of compound throughout our life that bring us to a point. So for me, me and my sister, when we were 8 and 10, I guess, went vegetarian. Mm-hmm. So I made a declaration when I was 8 years old that I was not going to eat animals because we figured out where meat came from. So I was vegan and vegetarian, or I was vegetarian. And then that was really difficult because, again, you don't know what you need as a vegetarian. So my mom did the best she could, but I was kind of a rebellious teenager in that sense. So mm-hmm. really kind of refined carbohydrates for a long time. I had really poor energy. I had a really heavy menstrual cycle. So I was staying home probably 2 days a month, just in quite a bit of pain. And that kind of disrupted, and my energy levels plummeted. And I think my ability to learn, I look back to IB and think I could have done so much better if I'd eaten better. My concentration. So there were a lot of things. Then I hit university and I went vegan, but I also was on birth control. And I was on birth control for a really heavy menstrual cycle and bad cramping. And that's when I went on it at age 16. So I came off in university, lost my cycle for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Continued to feel poorly, started running, started gaining weight. My energy went down. I was a bit of a mess and nothing chronic, which I'm so thankful for.
Yeah.
But enough to make me realize that something had to give because I wasn't able to show up in the world how I wanted to. And that was frustrating. So at that point, I was anemic, underweight, and then I kind of gained weight. So an underactive thyroid and a few other things. And then I guess my relationship went quite strict because, as I think anyone who gets into healthy eating, you think, oh my gosh, I need, you know, things can not be great for me. So I'm going to stick to all the really good stuff. And I think now I've come to a place of balance and kind of coming to nutrition with a sense of logic, but understanding that this is a lifelong journey and anything that's lifelong has to be sustainable. And then it has to be enjoyable if it's sustainable. So I think I eat mostly to support my body, and that's where my relationship with food is. But at the same time, I like truffle fries and red wine. But I understand how things are going to make me feel. And I think that's where I eat and where I ask my clients to kind of look is, how is food going to make you feel after? And that's where you start to make decisions.
Yeah. I wish you could see me right now, because everything that you were saying just now, I'm just nodding my head. I'm like, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Like you're in my brain right now. Thank you for sharing that. And that's so real. Well, first, I was going to say your mindset is very real, but your journey itself just sounds like such, you know, a roller coaster. And I'm sure anyone would just be confused, you know, at times, like at your wit's end, like just unsure of everything. So, you know, I'm so happy for you that you were able to come to a place where, you know, you're in control and a better understanding of yourself, you know what I mean? Like of your body and what's going on, because that's not fun at all, whether it's a chronic condition or not, to not be fully aware of what's going on with your own body. Like it's terrible. It sucks.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us, we kind of go through these things for years and we hold all of this on our shoulders and we think, you know, I can fix it. I can make myself better, or I will. And in the future, I will, or, you know, I will be able to. And so we never actually start to put action to our words. Mm. And I think reaching out and having a support system and going to practitioners, health practitioners who are going to listen to you and listen to your story and not dismiss you is really important. And that's often the first step. I know I went to Dr. Pete years ago and she was fantastic. So I'm glad to be working with such a, I don't know, a good listener.
Yeah.
So I think we just hold it and we want to kind of fix it ourselves and not discuss it necessarily, when really the solution is often, it's within us, but it's also the resources and, you know, really smart resources around us rather than the world of Google.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that what you've said just now, very important. And I think you've kind of led into my next question, which is, you know, what advice would you have for someone who was first diagnosed, who have just recently been diagnosed, or who will be diagnosed in the future? or someone who struggles with the impacts of a chronic illness, what advice do you have for that person?
Yeah, so I guess I would say is, I think of it as like a toolkit. Have people in your world that can help you, and that's the support system around you, so kind of your immediate environment. If you're not comfortable talking to the people around you yet, seek out two reputable kind of health practitioners. Often that is a combination of conventional doctors, but also practitioners such as nutritional therapists or dietitians or acupuncturists. I think the combination of Eastern and Western medicine is really powerful, and having multiple people in your kind of toolbox to support you, because health is holistic and it's not just about nutrition. It's also about, you know, your stress levels, how you think of yourself and how you're going to deal with this. So your mindset and having someone there. And then it's also kind of the medicine side. So whether it is a functional medicine doctor or your GP or a specialist, you know, starting to do your own research and putting together a bit of a team and see who works with you, you know, which practitioners resonate well with you and which ones dismiss you. And I guess the second thing would be just taking care of yourself, you know, and if you have a hard time taking care of yourself in terms of nutrition, seek out help.
Yeah, that's massive advice. Thank you. I feel like for myself, those words are so true and were kind of the path that I took when I was first diagnosed with MS years ago. Immediately, I had my family surrounded by me, who surrounded me and helped support me. And my GP, she was right next to me with that journey and had me seek out a specialist, said that, you know, we're going to get you out of here. And I went to see a specialist overseas. They gave me their advice on what medications I needed to take. And with my own research and advice from family, I knew of what steps I wanted to take as far as nutrition was concerned and different foods. And then, you know, years and years later, just to condense my story, I then sought out the help of a functional medicine doctor, Ocean Rock Wellness.
Yeah. And I guess I will say also is when it comes to the medicine side that's dealt with the doctors, there's no reason not to start to, you know, move your body and eat better. That can just make you feel better, a bit better day to day. It's less about kind of, you know, if you're diagnosed with something and you're eating a really poor diet, it's just a really good decision to start transitioning and, you know, finding kind of simple steps and building on progress.
Yeah.
Regardless of, you know, whether you are diagnosed or not, little things, you know, drinking enough water can maybe help your energy. It's not necessarily about treating what you've been diagnosed with. And that's not where I necessarily work. I work in a really preventative.
Right. I'm like, that's very reactionary.
You know, not necessarily reactionary. We work in a very preventative approach, and it's just better today, but also to have an impact and reduce risks down the line. And so with the symptoms, that can be, you know, how can we support your body so that they aren't exacerbated or triggered further?
Yeah, for sure. So what would you say, because, you know, you work with your different clients, I'm sure people are different that come to you with different illnesses, or some people may not have a particular illness, but just want to work on their nutrition in a different aspect.
Hey, everyone. I hope you're enjoying this episode so far. I'm popping in to talk to you guys about Branch of Life. Are you looking to enjoy a plant-based holiday meal this year for Christmas? Or are you looking to avoid the hassle of cooking and want to try something new? To our listeners in Bermuda, Branch of Life has something extra special in the works for the holidays. I wish I could tell you more, but if your ears are perked up and you want in on the delicious plant-based holiday goodness, then head over to their website at www.branchoflifebda.com and join their mailing list so you can find out first about what they have in store for us this holiday season. I'm just trying to get you as ready as possible for that time of year. I told you, I love food. So head over to branchoflifebda.com and follow at branchoflifebda on Instagram for affordable, tasty, purely plant-based meal solutions. Now, let's get back to our episode.
What would you say is one change that you would encourage your clients, or even just anyone listening who is like has their ears perked up to this conversation? What is one change that you would encourage others to make when it comes to managing their wellness? And so kind of like what you said, so it could be, you know, cut out certain foods or exercising or what have you. What would you say would be the one thing?
I would say I would make one into two because I think there's two top.
Yeah.
And one is just hydration. Optimal hydration is so important. And me and the doctors, anyone who comes in, it's the first step is if you're not drinking enough, you're not supporting your body. So I would say hydration. But really my one step is I take a really, I think, optimistic and it's less about restrictive, but more what we can do, what we can put on our plate. So I would say crowd out the foods that are on your plate with the really colorful things. Mm-hmm. So I think eating enough fruits and vegetables each day is the most fantastic way, because not only are you displacing the nutrient void foods such as, you know, breads and pastas and maybe, you know, excess meats and animal products, but you're getting more nutrients. You don't have enough nutrients on your plate and you're kind of choosing things like that are bready and refined. You're displacing the good things that your body's asking for. So I would say we just use the approach, crowd out the not as great with the really good for you. So if it's a meal, you add in a fruit and a vegetable, and those are often the baby steps you need. So I would say start to go to the farmer's market, maybe pick up a few vegetables and fruits, or commit to one smoothie a day for the next month. But doing it from a place of joy and enjoyment. But I think eating enough fruits and vegetables and drinking enough water. And the easiest just to include each meal, include another fruit and vegetable, which displace, you know, takes out, means there's not enough room for something else. Very simple recommendation, but if we're not kind of covering the basics, it's the idea of getting to something more complex is if you're not supporting your body with enough antioxidants and vitamins and minerals and water, then things like supplements, they're just not going to work as effectively, right? Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that's a great step one advice, I think. So for anyone listening, if you hear this conversation and you think, wow, like they're talking to me right now, pay attention to that advice. So thank you, Sarah. Yeah. So the time that we are having this conversation, we are nearing holiday season.
Yes.
I remember when I first came to have a conversation with you about nutrition months and months ago, I shared with you that I was about to go traveling. And yeah. I'm like, Sarah, I'm about to, you know, go overseas. Like, what do you want me to do as far as nutrition goes? Like, I have to eat like all of these different things. So my question is geared toward the holidays because we are getting to that time. Although it's a different time with COVID, families are still going to be getting together for different things like friend groups, maybe having a Friendsgiving soon or Secret Santa exchange with different, you know, Christmas foods. So what advice would you have for people who are going to be trying to make positive health choices over the holidays?
Yeah. So I think it's easier to make decisions when your body's already supported biochemically. It's nothing like going to a grocery store when you're hungry and picking up all the chips because you need glucose. So I think supporting your body before you go to any social event is really important. And that is maybe you go for some movement. So you get that kind of neurotransmitter response and you're feeling good. You drink enough water that day and you aren't going starving. So I think preparation is big. And then the next thing is when you socialize is, again, preparation is bringing a dish. I think if you're going to Thanksgiving or Friendsgiving or holiday parties is if it's not at a restaurant and it's at someone's home, bring a dish, make a big, like a really big salad. And not only just for you, but for others too, because I think the more you inspire them and the more they can see that, you know, these things taste great, they might start to bring things to these family dinners, which you'll then benefit from. And you can't rely on someone or anyone to be on your health journey with you and be as strict as you might want to be, or as kind of, you know, as careful as you want to be for the food. So always bring a dish. Get comfortable in the kitchen. Maybe you just make the same salad every party you go to, and that's completely fine. Or maybe you're going to bring a cookie that's gluten-free because you cannot have gluten in your diet for the time being. Just always bring a dish. You know, set yourself up. So exercise, hydration, and never go to a party hungry. And, you know, we have choices. Each time we go somewhere or each meal, it's a choice. Do we want to build up our health or are we going to let the food we eat kind of break us down? And going in with a really strong mindset is important. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of not necessarily meditation, but building your kind of mental resilience, especially if you've got a chronic illness or are trying to eat a certain way to feel better, it's really hard to go into a party where everything just looks so good, but you know is not going to make you feel great. So setting yourself up for success is definitely important. Encouraging those around you as well. As long as they know you're on this journey, that's really helpful, is having that. And then always bring a dish and maybe make it a vegetable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Start to make vegetables cool. And I still, every gathering I go to, bring a gluten-free cookie or a big salad in a massive salad bowl. And I think there's a big knock-on effect with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are my recommendations.
Well, thank you. That's great advice. And I'm taking it to heart. And I hope that others listening will also do that, because I know that it's tough, you know, we're not invincible. So
season is the silly season. It's about feeling like a little more luxurious. And that often means more sugar and more alcohol and probably more caffeine, because you've lost sleep partying. So you need to wake up to work. But being realistic about how much that impacts your health and your hormones.
Yeah.
Maybe putting together a bit of a plan of how many social things you're going to go to, or if you are going to go through a lot, how you're going to support yourself the rest of the time. It's not just about like self-care. It's more about, you know, what's really going to support your body. So, you know, are you going to get enough sleep the other nights? When are you going to exercise, or not necessarily intense exercise? When are you going to go for a walk? So having a bit of a schedule, I think, for the silly season, which sounds weird because it's all about spontaneity and having fun. But I think having a bit of structure can go a long way.
Awesome. Thank you, Sarah. That's amazing advice. So I hope that others listening find that helpful. So as we are ahead of the holidays, can you share with us any tasty recipes that people can try to make? Because I love that advice that you're saying to bring a dish. I love to experiment in the kitchen with different breakfast recipes, but like that's a great idea for different events that I'm going to go to, because I know that I'm going to go to a Thanksgiving event. I know that I'm going to, you know, be attending Christmas, obviously, for myself. Yeah. So do you have any recipes that you can share that we can try over the holidays and possibly bring to these events?
I think everyone knows how to barbecue or cook animal protein. So there'll always be some sort of animal protein at a party, but you can never guarantee that there's going to be a really fresh vegetable. The recipes I like to recommend are often kind of plant-based recipes. So, you know, a pumpkin soup with lots of spice, antioxidant-rich spices with coconut milk. We have a bunch of recipes on our website, oceanrockwellness.com, under blog.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I have a column on the Bermudian Magazine. So if you go to the Bermudian Magazine website, there's a title that says Sarah White. And I think lots of salads, so red cabbage salads, roasted Brussels sprouts, pumpkin soup. There's a really good for you chocolate chip cookie, but I think anything plant-based is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Most nutrients. But at this time, I think if you can master a really good salad, and I do have one on the Bermudian Magazine, or you can master a really good pumpkin, dairy-free pumpkin soup that you can mm-hmm. bring to a party or just have for dinner, you know, for an entire week. So there's a butternut squash soup recipe on the Ocean Rock Wellness blog, and there's lots of salad recipes that I have on the Bermudian Magazine. And, you know, they don't have to be expensive salads. You know, red cabbage, an entire head could feed like 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
So I've put some really kind of economical options there too. And that's where I would head for recipes.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. I will share the links to Ocean Rock Wellness website and the Bermudian Magazine website, links to your articles so people can access those and take some tips and bring some of these dishes to different events. So thank you. So before I let you go, but I just want to say thank you again for chatting with me today and just having this important conversation and just being open and sharing with us. So where can we find you? Where can we keep in touch? Where can people, I guess, find ongoing recipes or articles from you? Do you have a website, or are you on social media at all? Where can people get in touch?
Okay, so first I have an Instagram handle. It's SW Nutrition. And then also you can find me at Ocean Rock Wellness. So we've got an Ocean Rock Wellness handle on Instagram. We've got a website, but I'm there Monday to Thursday. So you can call up Ocean Rock Wellness as well, or come for a hello. But Alexis, I just want to say, I think what you're doing is fantastic because, like I said, when it comes to these health things, we try to do it all ourselves or hold it in ourselves and solve our own problems. And the community aspect is probably the most important aspect. It's going to get you through it. So to have these conversations, I think, and to, you know, discuss and have reputable kind of resources is really important too. So I think it's amazing what you're doing and I'm really grateful to be here today.
No, thank you, Sarah. It's been such a joy to have you. And, you know, I really appreciate what you said because the goal is to create the community, right? We're not an island. So each man is not an island. We're not alone in the different things that we go through as women. So these conversations are so important. And, you know, whether there are women listening at home or men listening at home who can take little nuggets from the things that we discuss, like that's all the goal, right? To help others. So thank you for sharing that and for saying that. I'm going to share your contact details in the show notes of this episode and on my website where people can access that. But I definitely will make a way for others to be able to get in contact with you after this episode. So before I let you go, I have one final question. So what does putting on your big girl panties mean to you? What does that look like in your life?
This makes me laugh because whenever I was kind of sulking or murping, my mum and my grandma growing up always used to say, Sarah White, put on your big girl panties.
Yeah.
At this point, I think putting on your big girl panties means showing up each day, showing up for ourselves. Yeah, showing up in the world, showing up each day, putting our best foot forward, regardless of what we're going through. And knowing we're capable, you know, being our own best friend and knowing we're capable. And if you put your big girl panties on mentally, you're ready for whatever comes towards you.
Ooh, I love that. I feel so inspired just from hearing that perspective. Thank you. That's definitely going to be a good quote from this episode. So thank you, Sarah.
No problem.
But yeah, thank you again. This has been a great, great conversation. I will talk to you soon and it's been a pleasure. It's been a joy. So thank you.
Thanks, Alexis. Have a lovely day.
You too.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in to another episode of Big Girl Panties Podcast. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Sarah as we explored the topic of food, our relationship with food, and mindful choices that we can make over the holidays. You can find the recipes that Sarah shared from Ocean Rock Wellness and the Bermudian Magazine in the show notes of this episode, and on bgplife.com. Remember, you can connect with Sarah on Instagram at swnutrition.bm or by visiting her website with the same handle, www.swnutrition.bm. Also, don't forget, if you're looking for a plant-based meal this Christmas, head over to branchoflifebda.com and sign up for their mailing list so you can find out first about what they have in store for the holidays. You can keep up with all things Big Girl Panties by following us on Instagram at BGPLife, on Facebook at BGPLifeBlog, and checking out our website at www.bgplife.com. I don't want to leave you guys with information overload, but save the date for BGP Christmas 2020. It's happening this year on December 20th. That's all I'll share for now, but I think you guys are gonna love this one. Thanks again for tuning in to today's episode. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you again soon.